Let's get ready to football! Hello and welcome in. You're listening to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with your hosts, David, Thomas, and Colton.
Hey guys, welcome to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. This is your host, Thomas, and I am joined by two great men and two even better friends, David and Colton. How's it going, guys?
Going good.
Going great.
Okay, going amazing.
Going great.
Doing better than Davey.
Awesome. No, well, I'm glad you guys are doing good. For our listeners, we have quite a bit of free agency news to catch up with. And we also are going to do continue on with our draft preview. And we're going to discuss our top five tight ends. So hopefully at the top of the program, we can get to that. But, boys, it's been a busy free agency since our last episode. Let's just start out with what teams have made big splashes. What signings have made news? What are your guys' thoughts?
Well, we had two weeks ago, Colton was out here and he was given an NFC East team little bit of credit. Was. Well, I'm about to do the same thing hesitantly. I really like what the Giants are doing out here. They got Kenny Golladay, John Ross, Kyle Rudolph.
Colton brought up the Washington football team. Didn't you say New York Giants?
Is that not what I said? No, he brought up the Washington football team. I'm going for the Giants. I'm bringing up another NFC East team. Sorry. Hey, you know what they call that? Professional transitioning.
That was so well done. You guys did. Well done. That's professional podcasting right here.
That was my plan. Yeah, that's what you just witnessed was professional podcasting.
And I'm so sorry for cutting you off on your take, but let's hear it.
Yeah, we just didn't want you to say something stupid. Well, just don't let it happen again. Like you usually
won't get fired. We just, fact check you there. So.
Oh, okay.
I don't share the – just to let –
No. Okay. So, yes, Colton brought up the Washington football team. I'm going with another NFC East team. So, we now have brought up two NFC East teams, was the point I'm trying to make, which is half of the NFC East making some sort of moves here. Now, back to what I was saying, I think the Giants have really done good adding some weapons for. Really, in my opinion, they're doing what the Bills did with Josh Allen last year. Last year, they went and put it all on the table. It was either Josh Allen was going to succeed and be the guy, or he's not the guy, and they knew they needed to move on. And I think they've kind of put that Daniel Jones in that same spot. He's got Kenny Golladay. They already had an average receiving core. They were kind of missing the main target, but they went out and added Kenny Golladay, Kyle Rudolph, John Ross. And, I mean, no excuses now. There's no excuses for him. Unless Saquon Barkley gets hurt again, I guess. That'll be his one excuse. I don't know. But then defensively going out and adding a few guys, Adoree Jackson. They brought Danny Shelton in, who's, I mean, a good role run stuffer. So I really think they've actually
No, I definitely agree with you, David. They're especially, signing Kyle Rudolph to a two-year deal. And then, Kenny Golladay. And like you said, that even though Danny Shelton is a role player, he's a solid signing, even though I don't know exactly the details of what his deal is, but solid, signing role player. Adoree Jackson, solid defensive back. I like what they're doing. So definitely agree. Colton, you got any – are you going to highlighted a third NFC East team?
No. Okay. No,
there is no other NFC East team that needs to be. Well, I mean, I'll mention one as kind of a side note, but it's not the main point. As we know, there was kind of a – there was what you would call a blockbuster trade the other day. The San Francisco 49ers moved up to number 3 overall in the draft and traded with the Dolphins. And then Dolphins picked up 3 first-round picks in the deal, a third-round pick, and swapped spots with the 49ers, and then they swapped spots with the Eagles. So there you go.
Mm.
Mentioned the NFC East, but the real winner here.
good job by you. That's professional here. Podcasting. Bringing a third team in. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
The real winner here, I believe, is the Miami Dolphins. I mean, I think we saw it with the Browns back when they still had before they drafted Baker Mayfield and everything, when they had Hugh Jackson as their head coach. Honestly, do not remember who their GM was at the time, but he literally just traded everything away that he possibly could and created so much assets, and they had – it was something crazy, like 14 of the top 100 picks.
I do remember that.
Absolutely crazy. The Dolphins, the next year – the next couple of years, they've got 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and 2 third-round picks for, like, 2 years in a row, and then they've got another first-round pick that third year. And, I mean, I really hope Tua's the guy, but if he's not the guy, they've got the ammunition to go up and get whoever they need to. And if he is the guy, then they've got all the ammunition they need to build a super elite team and topple the Buffalo Bills and stave off the New England Patriots in that division. So, winners, Miami Dolphins. It was a good situation for them to be in, and they took advantage of those poor 49ers. Yeah. Coming, they're going looking for gold, and they're going to find out it's already gone.
Great, great, great joke. You know,
it wasn't a joke, Tom. <I'm
kidding. laughs> you know, another thing too about the Dolphins is they signed Jacoby Brissett, you know, to a 1-year deal, but he's a solid backup if things don't shape up with Tua and they need someone to hold down the fort. Jacoby's a solid guy who can do that. What were your thoughts about Colton? Want to get your take on the Dolphins releasing Kyle Van Noy. Did you see that coming? What are your thoughts about that?
I did not. So there's a podcast that I listen to sometimes, and I'm sure Davey listens to it as well.
Is that Pat McAfee?
It is. And he had.
This is a big pro Pat McAfee podcast. So we all
He had Kyle Van Noy on there and asked him, you know, did you see it coming? Did you know? And he said, you know, no, I have no idea why they cut me. I don't know, you know, what's going on. Basically, all my coaches called me and were like, what the heck? And I was just like, I don't know. And, you know, I think all of us fans are just like him. No idea, no clue why he got cut. In all honesty, it probably has something to do with the salary cap, and they're, I don't know, maybe they're gunning for Micah Parsons or something. I don't know, but I really think no one saw that one coming, but it's going to end up okay.
Yep, especially because BB, my guy Bill Belichick, went out and spent even more money.
He is not your guy, Thomas.
How can you say that? You don't know my relationship with BB. We go back to the days when he was in Cleveland, and yeah. We don't
the days
talk
when
about
he beat
that.
The Seattle Seahawks.
He's my guy. I think the Lombardi Trophy should be replaced by Bill Belichick.
All right. Let's get back and talk about
I just wanted to throw out a hot take and get a response, and I succeeded.
Stupid take.
I succeeded
not
in
a
getting
hot take,
a well-respected response from you guys. But Kyle Van Noy goes and signs with the Patriots, I don't know where they're getting all this money, but
well, you see, they didn't spend it in previous years, so now they have it, and they're just spending it. They got hit with the stimmy like everyone else.
Hit with the stimulus. That's funny. Well, guys, anything else come up in free agency that you thought was a big move? You guys want to talk about that blockbuster trade with the Patriots, 49, not Patriots, I'm sorry, 49ers, Dolphins, and Eagles? What do you think is what are something that sticks out in that move? How's that going to impact the draft? What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think three quarterbacks are going 1, 2, and 3.
So Trevor Lawrence obviously going first.
Are you sure it's Zach Wilson?
Zach Wilson, Justin Fields.
Okay.
I think Zach Wilson's going to the Jets, number two.
I've been hearing a lot of Mac Jones chatter, you know, how he's the perfect Kyle Shanahan type of guy, reminds everyone of Kirk Cousins, you know.
He doesn't have half the arm that Kirk Cousins does. I don't know. I mean, I've heard that too. I don't know. I'm assuming that you've heard this, Colton, so I might be stealing all your thunder. But both pro days were today, right? And they had guys at both pro days, but the big dogs, Kyle Shanahan and Lynch, were both at Mac Jones pro day. But I don't – with the amount of draft capital they gave up, I mean, we're talking about just – we're still, what, 20-something days, 30 days almost away from the draft, and they give up three first-round picks and more to move up for a guy in Mac Jones that potentially could have stayed there. They potentially could have gone at 12 from what we've heard.
Yes, I mean, 12.
Are they at 12? What pick? Yeah, 12. I'm not crazy. Too many picks are switching around. And so either they're completely in love with Mac Jones, or I think that they are going up to get a guy that they thought potentially might not be there. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Definitely a huge thing that happened this past weekend was that. And yeah, makes things a little bit interesting for this upcoming draft. Colton, I want to get your thoughts on Patrick Peterson signing with the Vikings. Do you like it? Not like it? What are your thoughts about that signing?
You know, I was tempted to bring up the Vikings as, you know, free agency winners instead of Miami over the draft trade, but I didn't want to jinx them. So I'm glad you gave me a chance to talk about this. I know a lot of people are thinking, you know, they're thinking Patrick Peterson. He's an all-pro guy. He's kind of been on the decline a little bit. Obviously, that's why they let him get out of Arizona. You know, he's had probably his worst year ever last year. Well, what they don't realize is that there was a team who had corners and a defense that was a lot worse than them. And that was Minnesota Vikings. You know, we had Cameron Dantzler and Jeff Gladney learning on the fly, and then whatever third quarterback that could cornerback that could stay healthy, you know, or we could poach the day before the game from someone else's practice squad. They started as the third corner for the Vikings. Patrick Peterson brings a lot of experience, definitely to a Vikings secondary that sorely needed it. Not only him, but we've brought back Mackenzie Alexander, signed Xavier Woods.
Yep.
So that secondary is going to be completely different, but I think Patrick Peterson gives those corners just, you know, a wealth of knowledge, and he's not going to be asked to play man nearly as much anymore. He's going to play a lot of zone, and I'm predicting a bounce back year from Patrick Peterson. Super excited for him. Don't know who's going to start in the slot, whether it's going to be Jeff Gladney or Mackenzie Alexander, but the Vikings are going to have a very different defense next year.
Now, David, Green Bay has been pretty silent as far as free agency. What are I know there's a lot of Packer haters out there that are spewing hate on the lack of movement. Do you have anything you want to say to those haters, and what are your overall thoughts about Green Bay so far? Yes.
My thoughts about Green Bay is if you look around, I think it's very ironic that, and I'm not taking anything away from the Bucs. I think it's very ironic that the Bucs brought back every single starter and they're getting all this buzz. And the Packers brought back every single starter but Corey Linsley, and they're one of the big losers of the offseason from a lot of people. I don't know if people remember, and I'm not, again, not trying to – this is not a bash Buccaneers thing. This is what the entire season was, not what a hot stretch was. The Buccaneers were in danger of missing the playoffs a couple weeks before the playoffs, if people remember right. The Packers were the number one seed in the NFC, and so – I'm not for, with the amount of with the cap situation going down like it did, us going being able to go in a situation where we can basically run it back at this point, I'm very happy with. I don't know how we would have the only way we would have money to make any other big moves is by getting rid of someone else. And I don't think that there's anyone that we really needed to switch.
Well, I think that makes a ton of sense. Lost me, guys. We're going to move on to the next segment unless you guys have any other anything else you guys want to talk about that happened in free agency.
Good. Let's go.
Colton's good. David, are you good? Sweet. Well, guys, as we're nearing the
– Yep.
Nearing towards this year's draft, we as a podcast are breaking down position groups. Just to give our listeners – a little bit of taste of the people that they will see get drafted this year. So today we are going to break down the tight ends of the 2021 NFL draft top five. So why don't we just start at number five. Who do you guys got at your number five?
So this year's tight end class there's one guy that's, you know, separates himself at the top, and then there's just a lot of traits and things that you got to kind of find and fall in love with. And I think an impact player that I have personally seen play in a lot of games this year is going to be John Bates. Boise State.
Good.
He kind of reminds me in a way of Kyle Rudolph. He's a really physical player for Boise State. You know, they use him a lot on the line as well. And he kind of, you know, he's not running routes every single play. You know, there's a lot of times he's blocking or he's delayed, you know, has some type of delayed route and lots of things. And they use him in a lot of different scenarios. But you kind of forget about him, and then he pops up in the big scenarios. You know, the third down where you really need a third down conversion, or, you know, countless touchdowns that it seems like he just literally like beats the end guy on the line of scrimmage. And I'm not talking about like beats him in a race. I'm talking about like he takes a club and beats him. and then all of a sudden just releases for a pass, you know, catches those 2 yard touchdown, makes one hand catches in the back corner of the end zone, and, you know, and comes up in really big moments for Boise. He's just, you know, I think he's what you want in a tight end. He's a safety valve. He's very physical, sneakily athletic, you know. Not like Davey sneaky athletic, but like, you know, an NFL potential caliber. Sneakily athletic. And he's very physical. You know, definitely not a guy who shies away. And he's a big presence out there on the football field for Boise State. And I think, you know, he's probably going to come in as, you know, a tight end two type guy. And I think after a year or so, you'll see him being just a super strong safety blanket starter in the NFL.
Mm. I like that pick a lot, not only because I'm a Boise State fan, but I agreed with a lot of what you said there, Colton. He showed up at the Senior Bowl at 259 pounds, and with the Boise State system that he was at, a lot of pro sets, a lot of shifting around, a lot of, like you said, downhill blocking, a lot of block and release, kind of safety valve type stuff that he was a part of at Boise State. And also, you know, like you said, he's a great hands. You know, for number five, I have a guy named Kylan Grandson. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He's a guy out of Southern Methodist University, SMU. He's one of these more slender, almost built like a wide receiver type guy. He's not very big, but it seems like sometimes the those guys what's that guy that Colton, who's that guy that you picked last year that went to Pittsburgh?
Chase Claypool.
Yeah, Chase Claypool. Yeah, kind of like a Claypool. Chase Claypool type guy.
got you first.
You know, he's not entirely athletic, but he's got good hands, and he moves a little bit differently than most tight ends. So I have Kylan Grandson, SMU. David, who's your number five?
So I like both of your picks. I like Colton definitely a lot more. But I'm going with a guy that I scarily put him in my top five.
Good. That's a good pick.
Hunter Long from Boston College. Super productive last year. He's not the best athlete in the world, but, I mean, like I said, one of the best tight ends in college, like, statistics-wise last few seasons. Not a bad blocker, definitely a willing blocker. He's not a great blocker by any means, but for today's standards, he can be that inline tight end occasionally. He's not a guy that has to live out in the slot. And a solid route runner, but the scary part for me is he reminds me of a certain Packers guy that I'm about willing to label a flat out bust at this point. That's Jay Sternberger. Jay Sternberger is almost the identical player. Solid route runner, just a guy that ate up stats in his last season in college, a solid and willing blocker. But the problem with Jay Sternberger was he did not have very much athletic ability. He was not the fastest, sprintiest type of guy. And that's the same thing with Hunter Long. Hunter Long's also – he's not short by any means. He's 6'5". He does have a body, but he's not going to be the – a 6'7" red zone target type of guy either. They're just average sized guys. And so that kind of scares me off of him a bit. If you watch tape, he got hyper targeted in Boston College. And so I'm a little bit concerned about that. That's why I don't know if he'll be on your guys' list. I almost left him off my list despite his statistical production. But ultimately,
no, I think that's a good pick. He was actually going to be probably my number five. But I like that a lot, David. He came out of Boston College, which, if the listeners don't know, they run a lot of pro formations. Super productive, like you said. Big body, big guy. So yeah, I think that's a solid pick. Who's your guys' number four?
I struggle. But here I go.
I struggle all the time, Colton. It's okay.
Okay. Anyways, Pat Freiermuth, Penn State.
Oh.
Number four. I'm just going to call him Patty. My big big boy Patty at Penn State.
Someone do the Pat jingle. Pat. All right.
He's very physical, definitely. You know, he's got all kind of the traits and everything that you want as a tight end. A lot of people have him higher than that, than number four is far in the tight ends. But for me, I just think he's a little too slow to really separate from people. He uses his body, you know, his physical frame to separate from people. And he's definitely kind of a physical freak I wouldn't call him a freak, but he's very physical for sure. Breaks a lot of tackles. I see him as the type of tight end who's, you know, kind of a Well, not just a pass catcher. He's not the best blocker. He's not the best pass catcher. He's really decent at both. And he just, when he gets the ball in his hands, he just runs. He's like, okay. trying to think of that movie where the you guys know what I'm talking about, where Forrest Gump. There you go. He just puts his head down like Forrest Gump, puts both hands on the ball. He knows he's not going to fumble, and he just chugs. I mean, he's a chugger. And he breaks tackles. very physical guy. Definitely excited for his after-the-catch ability, but I just kind of see him struggling a little bit at the next level to separate. He's definitely not – I wouldn't prototype him as a mismatch among people, and so that's why I have him – you know, I think linebackers are, you know, at least the best linebackers are always going to be physical enough to hang with him. He's not going to, you know, be like, oh, how do we guard Travis Kelce, you know? Mm. Definitely not definitely not like that, but he's a chugger, and I'm excited for him at the next level.
That's well. First of all, that's a solid comparison. And David, good job to you for coming in clutch with the Forrest Gump. my number four is a man that Colton talked about as his number five, and that's John Bates. For literally all the reasons that Colton said, I loved Colton's Kyle Rudolph comparison. I think that's solid. A lot of this is biased probably because I'm a Boise State fan, but I do feel he...
It's not biased when your player is actually really good.
Yeah. And, you know, NFL scouts love him. I'm hearing a lot of good things from... How his stock or his draft stock has increased. He's a solid, so he's my number four. David?
Well, I'm sorry to say, I'll say this at this
point. Oh.
He is not in my top five. Which I like him though. He was one of the guys I really considered. The interesting thing about the tight, I think the tight end landscape has become close to like what the interior defensive line landscape is. It's kind of hard to gauge because there's so many different types of players. And like Bates is like a guy that's gonna, you know, half the guys we mentioned today, he's probably gonna be better. You know, he's going to be better, almost for sure better than some of these guys, because he's going to be solid in the NFL. He's a good blocker. He's a good, solid, reliable pass catcher. He just doesn't have the ceiling. And so it's kind of hard to gauge one of those guys that you're guaranteeing is going to be a solid NFL player versus some of these potential guys, which is what my next guy is a little bit. Tommy Tremble from Notre Dame. Not a lot of production in college. Not a guy that's going to be living as a inline tight end. He is a plus athlete, long speed, good route runner. I don't think Notre Dame utilized him all that well, but I think he's a good enough blocker and a good enough try hard type of guy and a good enough receiver that I think he's going to stick around. But he's the type of guy that to me has that second ceiling or that third ceiling where he can get and hit that leap going in his third or fourth year, that all of a sudden he becomes one of these more dominant receiving threats. And so I don't know if he'll get there, but he's my.
You got to give him a better introduction than that. It's Tommy, the Terrible Tremble.
TT.
I don't know what you're talking about. He is the best blocker in this class of tight ends. He's better, you know, obviously. Better than a number one guy. He is the best blocker tight end out of all these guys. And he's actually got a pretty developed route tree. He's a little bit higher on my list just because, you know, there's always going to be a spot for good blocking tight ends in the NFL. You know, they can transition into different positions, you know, like fullback or, you know, whatever. And you need guys that just want to go out there and just annihilate someone, you know. And he doesn't have, like you said, the fanciest of footworks, the most developed of route trees. But Tommy Tremble, I'm super excited for him. I feel like, you know, he's going to be a great, great blocking tight end. He's going to put his head down, work really hard, prove himself as a blocker. And he's going to open up a lot of opportunities because people are going to stereotype him as a blocking tight end and definitely underestimate his receiving abilities. So have him a little bit higher on my list, but just wanted to throw a quick shout out to my guy while you were dissing him there.
I'm not dissing him. I he's a good blogger. I mean, I definitely disagree with you that he's the best blogging in the class. But he's exactly like what you said, that he's going to put his head down. That's what I mean when that he's going to do whatever it takes to stick around in the NFL and give him time to develop. And so I think he's a good blocker. I think he's a good blocker just because he tries so hard. You know, he doesn't have a lot of the size to beat out some of who I think are the best blocking tight ends in the class. But I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely really, agree. In really fact, he's my number three.
Really high upside, in my opinion.
Is Tommy Tremble because of his ability to block, and also because, from what I hear, he's one of these guys that just gives his full on effort, and I love those type of players. And so there's a little bit more bias, and a little bit more bias because I also like Notre Dame. So I'm just a biased podcaster. Announcer, host, podcasting host. But you know, I love his ability to just be ferocious and go after people and hit people. I love his effort, and so I have him at number three. David, our guy, our co-host Colton, he had to leave a little early, so okay. No, please do.
I'll take the lead here, Thomas, and I'll tell you why here in a second. I hate to cut you off. Great podcast host. But yeah, like Thomas said, Colton just bailed on us. He just got tired. He got so upset at my Tommy Tremble case that he wasn't the best blocker in the class. That he's just like, I got to get out of here. So Colton and I actually have the same exact number three. And to me, I wish Colton could have stayed on just a few minutes more because this is the most interesting guy in the class, in my opinion. Interesting as far as like where we're going to rank him. Obviously, the guy that's more than likely number one on everyone's board is the most interesting. But Brevin Jordan, a freak athlete out of Miami, a guy that had a ton of hype going in, a guy that can't be tackled most of the time, but a guy that I think a lot of people are overhyped. I wish Colton would have stuck around for this his last little bit so that we could have confirmed my opinion here. But I kind of think, not necessarily that Colton and I disagree on too many guys, but I wonder if Colton and I just disagree on how good this tight end class is as a whole. Because it seems like him and I don't have very differing opinions on some of these guys. It's just that he likes guys a little bit more than I guess on the rankings of some of these guys. But he seems to like a few of these guys. And I wonder if Brevin Jordan would have been one of them. But I'm not a fan of Brevin Jordan. To me, the biggest
that's
problem.
He reminds me
of a guy. His name is Evan Engram. Evan Engram, amazing athlete, can't be tackled half the time. Basically a receiver in a tight end's body, but can't catch the football unless if he's more than 5 yards down the field. There's like some invisible wall that happens with his hands where the ball never even touches his hand. Like, it's terrible. And, like, it's bad enough hands. Like, you don't see him like, okay, this guy's the guy that just has confidence issues. It's like this guy doesn't know how to freaking catch a football. He doesn't locate balls well. He doesn't adjust to them well, which to me is scary because half of what I would love in him potential-wise is him as a downfield threat. I mean, if you're looking at – I want you to imagine a world right now where you were as fast as Evan Engram.
Yeah, that's...
But then you were able to break tackles like Brevin Jordan does. And then being able to make plays downfield. Like, if he could do anything like that, it'd be amazing. But he just can't catch to save his life. and I don't think it's going to be fixed. And he's one of those guys to me when I'm talking about those guys like Bates. I see Bates, even though you have to rank Brevin Jordan ahead of him because of the potential, in my opinion. But Bates is a guy that I personally think is going to be a better NFL football player than Brevin Jordan. Because I personally think Brevin Jordan is going to – he can't block. And so what he's going to do is he's going to be a guy that can't catch a football that's going to be that – get some tight end screens and tight end drags here and there and make amazing plays. And then he's going to live out his first contract. There's always going to be hype about him, and he's never going to do anything. Where Bates is going to have a 12-year career in the NFL, he's going to be that guy that gets four contracts that you don't like, you don't ever think about. He never gets the big deal, but he's a guy that's always helping your football team. And so I don't know, we'll see. But I'm not
he's a fan of Brevin Jordan, he's a very guy unique
in this tight end class
type prospect coming in, just because of exactly what you said. He's like Evan Engram. And yeah, he's from the little bit of research that I've done on him, he's played like all of the tons of the positions. So I think he played in the slot, on the outside, lined up on, you know, on next to the tackle in line, and also did a little bit in the backfield. So, you know, he was somebody that almost made my top five, but the overall research that I did on him did mention a lot of things you said, David, was some of the inconsistencies and the prospect of him potentially failing at that position in the NFL. So I think that's solid. David, who's your number two?
Well, my number two.
Should we
so
say
first
how
off,
he wants it?
Colton's number two is
Terrible Trimble.
Call me the Terrible Trimble. He already talked about him, so we're not going to talk about him no more because my feelings kind of got hurt when he talked about him. No. But my guy is a guy that Colton already mentioned, and I wish I would have gone off on him because I was ready to go off on him on this guy. It's Pat Freiermuth from Penn State. I'm not really the biggest fan on him at all. Like, I'm not – again, I don't think this tight end class – I think you can tell by now. I don't think this tight end class is all that special outside the top guy. I think there's a lot of guys that are going to be really solid football players in the NFL. They're going to be really good long-term guys. But I don't think that there's anything – there's no Noah Fant in this class. There's no outside the top guy, there's no second guy that's going to go out and make any noise, in my opinion. There's a couple of those potential guys, and sure enough, one or two of them will hit come around 3-4 years. But I think it's one guy, and then everyone else I'm just not too excited about. But Pat Freiermuth, I think, is a really solid tight end. I disagree with Cole a little bit on his athleticism. I don't think he's some special athlete, but I think he's capable. Who he reminds me of in the NFL is Hunter Henry. And Hunter Henry, I think, is the perfect comp for him. Really solid all-around tight end, like Colton said. Really strong tight end. A really good blocker. Can be inline, can be out wide. A solid receiver that's going to win mostly with strength and contested catchability. But his ultimately, I mean, we've seen this with Hunter Henry. Ultimately, his athleticism will limit his ceiling to being a really good
dude. He's actually my number two guy as well. And I think the comp to Hunter Henry, that's solid. I love his physicality after he does catch the ball. I know we made a joke about Forrest Gump, but Pat does like to lower the shoulder and just, run through people, which is I like a lot. But, yeah, I like Pat. He played at Penn State. 260 pounds. Like you said, David, I don't think he'll ever be an amazing Travis Kelce type tight end player, but a solid guy who on the front end of his career is going to be like a Hunter Henry. So solid comp there. David, who is your number one? Well, who's I think we all have the number one here, but who's your number one pick? Yeah, Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts. I know that's a lot. I know everyone's been listening to this podcast with so much just excitement, wondering who that number one guy is going to be. But, I mean, no. Obviously, it's Kyle Pitts. In my opinion, the best tight end I've ever scouted. I mean, I haven't. That doesn't mean too much. I've kind of been in the. I was kind of hardcore scouting just a couple of years, but in my opinion, he's quite a bit better than T.J. Hockenson. To me, he's T.J. He's almost T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant together. Like, he's not quite the blocker that T.J. Hockenson is, so that isn't quite fair. I don't know that he has quite the all-around athletic gifts that Noah Fant does. He's definitely up there. He's definitely close. But I don't know that he's quite that, so he might not be quite either of them. But he's a good mix of both of them. He's a great blocker. He's an amazing receiver. He combines Fant's athleticism with Hockenson's hands and Hockenson's route-running ability. Of course, we're talking pre-draft. I know Hockenson's had some trouble with his hands in the NFL. But Kyle Pitts is just amazing. In my opinion, if you're, like, giving it a Madden rating, I'm not saying he should be the number one pick in the draft, but if you're giving everyone a Madden rating, Pitts is probably one of the best players in the class.
Dude, yeah, I totally agree with you.
If not the best player in the class. Like, he's just that good.
The reliable hands, you know, just the complete package when you're looking to when you're looking at tight end draft prospects. And I think the cool thing, too, about him is he's a pretty young guy. I think he's 20 years old. And so, I mean, he's got a lot of mileage that he's still, or he doesn't have a lot of mileage on him. A lot of talent. So I definitely agree. And I think, yeah, he's a special player. And also, listeners, that was Colton's number one pick as well. So we were all.
Oh, you ruined it.
I was like Thomas Rasmussen.
Just to make him look bad.
Tommy the terrible Trimble was number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But awesome, man. Well, I think that concludes the majority of our podcast. Listeners. Oh, for sure. No, please.
There's one last thing I want to ask you here, Thomas. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I waited too long. I know. Where do you put an over under for Kyle Pitts in the draft? We know he's one of the best players in the class, but at the tight end position where it's a little bit harder to project, even for the greats, it's sometimes a position that takes a while to develop. And then it's not, you know, when you have the great one, it's important, but it's not always the most crucial position, I guess. You know, it's great when you have one of the greats, but it's not like you're a terrible team if you don't have a good tight end. Where do you put
He's got
for
the
where he'll go in the draft.
The potential to be in the first round, although like you said, David, it's a position that you do not see get drafted in the first round that often. Although it is nice when you get that special type player like a one of a kind player like I think Kyle Pitts is, but you know, that's a good question. I think he falls. No, I don't know if falls is the good word. I think he goes at the top of the first round. Oh.
Okay, so what number?
I'm going to make you put something on this, Thomas. I want you to put a number on this. I don't want your little first round. No.
Let's do 29. Oh.
29. Wow. That's not the top of the first round, Thomas.
That's what I meant to say.
That's the back of the first round. You got me there. I'm not gonna lie. I was
you know, I'll
10. This will be interesting. Okay. This might be a water bet here, Thomas, because I significantly disagree. I'm putting the over under at 7. I think he will go close to top seven. Thomas, are you ready for a water bet?
Let's
right now?
Do it. I wish Colton was here so he could have played
I'll water
the
bet
water
top
bet 15. Jingle, but I am in. If I have a little invisible hand, a digital hand, then I am reaching out to your digital hand, and we're shaking on this.
And my digital hand is also okay. Reaching out. So, just to be clear that you're not being left hanging, Thomas, this will be an interesting one. I have not, like, I know that, you know, I've ran the draft guru page, and some people would consider me a draft guru. But, I mean, you know this, Thomas. We'll let the listeners in on our lives a little bit. It's been a pretty crazy couple months. I'm not running the draft guru page, as most of you know. I am in my first year teaching middle school math.
Yes.
And then I am, for the last month, I've been getting ready to close on a house. So I have not been completely in the loop like I usually am. So, I mean, I kind of just assumed that Kyle Pitts was going top 10. I don't know if you have some mock drafts, and I just made the dumbest water bet ever.
You know,
but
I may look
I can't
pretty
believe
dumb
if
the...
he's going to fall that far. I hope so, because one
you
of
know,
us is going to look silly. One
I was
of us says top
just
7, the other
you know,
29.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. You could, I could definitely. You never know in the draft. You never know.
We will see. You never know. And you're right. Tight ends do drop. This is a loaded class. Offensive linemen, loaded quarterback. I would have said, honestly, I probably would have said top five before the trade with the 49ers. Because after the trade with the 49ers, it came out. I mean, it looks like they're going to take quarterback. Then it came out that the Jets were locked in on Zach Wilson. If none of that's a smokescreen, I mean, I don't know. There's going to be three quarterbacks there. There's a pretty good offensive tackle that has to go in that range. And so,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
For a luxury tight end, but
I don't know.
Man,
now that I'm thinking about it, I'm kind of regretting.
St. Thomas,
I should.
Well, that
I'm
makes
gonna
me happy because I was kind of
go on the internet and
now I feel more confident.
Write a whole bunch of bad things about Kyle Pitts because we know that whatever's on the internet is true. So,
well, that's great.
No,
lost
no,
half our followers because they think that we're ruining draft prospects.
I'm just kidding.
Go
I
ahead,
will not write
anything
bad about
though.
Kyle Pitts. He's a big listener of the program, I know, but big fan of the show. But David, I think that does it for this
episode. Oh yeah,
episode.
Big fan of the show.
It was. I feel bad for you and Colton for having to deal with me for a whole hour.
Oh, trust me, we feel bad too. No, that's a joke.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad to be here as well.
We're glad
but
to be here with
you. Go ahead and search for us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and other areas or sources where podcasts can be listened to. Go ahead and give us a 5-star. We're not really interested in any other rating. So, David, what's that?
Hey, this reminds me. This is something we're starting new on the podcast this week. You want a shout out? Give us a 5-star review. We will shout out every single
yes.
5-star review, and we will read one of them per week.
Yeah.
And so, but in order for this to work, you need to put out the 5-star reviews. So this is going to be really embarrassing now when we never ever have a 5-star review. It's out there, like everyone's going to be listening every week, and it's going to be like, oh man, they always offer, but we never hear them
stuff.
Read.
Awesome. Well, David, it's been fun. Before we go, do you have any social media info you want to give our listeners?
Yes, we do. Follow us at Instagram at Ready to Football Pod. Like I said, we might have been lacking on draft stuff, but we are going to do some draft profiles. We're going to get some of them out there. We might get some big boards out there. We might get some mock drafts out there. And by might, I mean we will definitely have at least one. But we will definitely get out a few player profiles. So if you want to hear and learn about a couple of these draft prospects.
Awesome. Well, David, follow. I was going to say, I was going to, you know, do our standard ask Colton if it's time to end this thing, but he decided to end this thing a long time ago. So, David, do you think we should end this thing?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Thanks for joining us here on the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod, or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/readytofootballpod. And make sure you hit subscribe so you can come back next week and hear another great edition of the podcast. Have a great week.